Hi there, everyone. Good morning and welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast. It's Monday, the 31st of January. I'm Maddie Plell, and this week I'm joined by Robbie Wilders and James Stevens. Robbie, you've not been on this show for ages, and you're now officially a tipster. So how does that feel?
Hi, Maddie. Yeah, very good. Long time between drinks, certainly. I'd like to think I'll be a bit more polished this time around, a bit more experience on my belt as it's been a couple of years. So, looking forward to seeing how I get on.
Yeah, brilliant. And James, where have you been this weekend? What have you been up to?
Down the road at Cheltenham for a very, very good trials day. I'm not quite sure how many trials were on offer, to be honest. I don't think we learned too much, but some cracking racing nonetheless. And a really good atmosphere at Cheltenham, must be said.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't bump into you when I was there. But we'll get stuck into trials day very shortly. That's what we've got coming up in the next 40 minutes or so. We're also going to look back on action at Doncaster, where there was a 40-1 surprise in the Sky Bet Chase. And all eyes are turned towards Leopardstown this weekend. It's the Dublin Racing Festival. We're going to get a banker and a lay from James and Robbie each, talking about some of the big races there. Let's get straight on into Cheltenham then. James touched upon it there that some of the races we might not have learned very much. I think one race where we learned plenty was the Triumph Trial won by Pied Piper. And this is a particularly interesting strand of form because this horse is owned by the same people who own the favourite for the Triumph, Phil Dorr. And Gordon Elliott seems to think that horse is better. Would you agree with him after what we saw on Saturday, Robbie?
On that performance, no. But I don't know, it's hard to, they both recorded the same RPR. Phil Dorr did winning at Leopardstown over Christmas. But the visual impression that Pied Piper created at Cheltenham was much better than anything Phil Dorr's done. I actually think the race wasn't too bad. There are a lot of previous winners and he's made absolute mincemeat of them. They're talking about splitting the pair, talking about putting Pied Piper in the Triumph, in the Supreme. And I think that'd be quite interesting. I know it's quite a hot Supreme, but you get a lot of weight from the older horses. And if you're that way inclined, there could be a bit of value doing a kind of a non-runner, no-bet double, a related double on Pied Piper in the Supreme and Phil Dorr in the Triumph. That could be quite interesting. But it's also something to note later on at the Dublin Race Festival. We'll touch upon it later. But Vauban, who was second to Pied Piper in their maiden hurdle at Punchestown, he was actually quite unlucky not to win that, I thought. So how good could he be? That remains to be seen. But yeah, I'm inclined to believe that it was a top performance.
Yeah, 5-2 Pied Piper for the Triumph Hurdle, if you're interested. Phil Dorr, 7-2. So the market disagrees with Gordon Elliott. Vauban, the horse that Robbie's just mentioned, 9-2. And it's 10-1 bar. But again, the Irish looking very dominant in this division. James, would you agree with Robbie? What do you make of these two horses? Because they seem to have very, obviously very similar profiles, being juveniles, but they've both won their races in slightly different ways, haven't they?
Yeah, I think Phil Dorr has always had the sort of impression of he's won the right races and done it well, but he's not sort of done anything in the way that really just sort of screams to you that he's absolutely out of this world. And normally when you go to the Triumph, there is something that sort of have given you that sort of impression. I mean, in previous years, especially Zanna here last year, he was the sort of one that came on the scene and burst on it and everyone thought he'd be sort of the next big thing. Phil Dorr's just gone about his business a little bit different. It's sort of been professional rather than sort of really sexy, which is what you look for in these sort of races. Robbie touched on what's coming up this week. I imagine that whatever happens at the Dublin Race Festival, whoever wins that, and if we do get a performance from the second behind Pied Piper, who is favourite in that market, a performance which clearly they expect, given the reputation he's got, then he could easily go to the head of affairs. But on Pied Piper himself, I thought he was very, very good. It's traditionally not the strongest race in the world, that one, that Triumph Trial, to be honest, and I thought it was particularly weak. So I wouldn't look at him, his form there, and think it was absolutely rock solid. His Irish form arguably might be stronger, but you can't knock the way he did it. And any horse that goes to Cheltenham and wins like that is always going to catch the eye.
Yeah, there were some disappointments in behind, weren't they? I fancied Intern to Sivla and he just seemed to go out like a light. Issio as well for the Paul Nicholls team, fairly disappointing. But Pied Piper, if you do like him for the Supreme, you can back him any price, 7-1 to 12-1. So that's what odds you'll have to expect if you'll fancy him taking on his elders in the first race at the Cheltenham Festival. Now, the Grade 3, the feature handicap on the card, was won by the very well-punted Torn and Frayed, who was sent off the 5-1 joint favourite. Probably not the strongest edition of this race, but I thought this was a really impressive victory. I expect he'll go up in the handicap quite a bit now. Would he be on your radar for future targets, James?
I think he would be, depending on the ground. I think the good ground was quite important to him there. And it was interesting to see sort of how he'd step forward because of it. I mean, I think he was pulled up the time before, but he was strong in the betting in the week. We know Nigel Tristan Davis loves to ready a horse for a big Cheltenham handicap, and I think that was the case. Compared this race to sort of the other 2.5 mile handicap chases you get at the track, it's not particularly the strongest, but at times you do get the odd good horse. The talk after the race was the Plate, obviously, which I think he's a fair price for. I think he was about 16-1 for. But Nigel Tristan Davis interestingly mentioned the Topham. He said this horse is a particularly good jumper. He won that, I think, in about 2010. And I think he's got half an eye on that with this horse. And given the way he jumps, you'd certainly give him a chance. The horse I was particularly taken by was the fourth, Gallic Coast, who was having his first run from wind surgery. He travelled like he was going to win it at one point, but I think he probably just got tired and he wants softer ground as well. So he'd certainly be interesting if he turned up in the Plate in the festival.
Yeah, and I guess similar comments apply to Imperial Alcazar, Robbie, the horse who won the novices handicap chase on the card. That's traditionally been a very good guide to handicaps at the festival. Would you expect him to be playing a big role in one of those?
He could well do. I know the novice handicap won by Imperial Alcazar was run at a slightly quicker time, which is quite interesting. As with all these races, we're going to have to see what the handicapper does and how they react. But yeah, it was a very good performance from both horses. And I want to see a mark before I commit to a target. But, you know, he's beaten the right horses, Torn and Frayed, for a lot of Cheltenham specialists. And he's obviously had some pretty good form behind My Drogo early in the season. That's looking very good. So, yeah, he's you have to keep him on side, but let's see what happens first.
OK, let's move on to the Paddy Power Cotswold Chaser Grade 2. I feel like there was a bit of division among people beforehand about whether Chantry House deserved to be as short a price as he was after disappointing in the King George last time, but he got the job done. This wouldn't necessarily be enough to be a real Gold Cup candidate, though, would it, do you think, James?
No, I don't think the performance was one that's particularly going to fear anyone across the Irish Sea in terms of a Gold Cup. But I think first and foremost, credit to the horse. He gave that run absolutely everything. He finished very tired. He was actually sort of walked back to the paddock and, you know, he'd given it his all and fair play to him because he's bounced back after what was an absolute no-show in the King George. So credit to him there. Yeah, it's difficult to judge. I would say from watching it, no, he's not done his Gold Cup chances much. He's not much boosted them, to be honest with you. But I mean, just on sort of the interest of balance, Nicky Henderson sort of discussed after the race. So this was the horse's first proper race of the season. His first race was at Sandown. He only beat one horse. And then that King George run where you can sort of just draw a line through it. So perhaps he will improve for it, sort of mentally, physically, and all that sort of way. But from watching it, no, he didn't seem a Gold Cup. But it's interesting to see what Nicky Henderson said. And you wouldn't be surprised if he did improve for it. But in my mind, he's going to have to prove a lot more.
Yeah, he's a big prize for that Gold Cup, as you'd expect, I guess. Beating Santini, I Write, Corto Rico and Simply the Bet. It's a bit of a disappointing turnout, but if the horses aren't there to take on, you can only beat what's put in front of you. I must admit, James, I saw him walking back after Nico got off him. I thought he was carrying his tail quite awkwardly. I wouldn't even be surprised if he was a bit injured or he'd aggravated something, because he certainly didn't jump very well, did he, Robbie?
No, I wasn't particularly impressed either. But he has, as James alluded to, he's had kind of not an ideal sort of start to the season. And, well, he's got the job done. Sometimes we're all guilty of looking a bit too far in advance. He's just won a Grade 2, like, fair play to him. It wasn't the strongest race, obviously. I think Santini's passed his best. I Write, you could argue, he's just a high-class handicapper. But he does seem to have lost some of the speed he had last season. Like, looking back, it's kind of surprising he was quick enough to win a Marsh. But looking back at that Marsh as well, you could argue that obviously Envoy Allen fell early on and Shan Blue set a ridiculously quick pace up front. So, yeah, he does look a stayer. But of the Gold Cup British hopes, I'd certainly favour Protector out over him after his Aintree win.
Yeah, Chantry House, best price 20-1 Protectorate and 8-1 chance. Let's dig into the Gold Cup a little bit. Appleutard is the favourite, 100-30. Galvin, who won last time in a thrilling finish, 9-2. Minella Indo, last year's winner, as big as 15-2. I think that could look quite a good price. And then Album Photo, the dual winner, at 10-1. Who do you fancy looking at that market now, Robbie?
I've had a few bets here, but at the odds now, I know you agree with me, Mads, so I'll have Mount Ida. She was very, very eye-catching when winning the Kim Muir last season. And she's not run over a trip anywhere near 3 miles since, but has been winning over 2.5 miles. And she looked all stamina at Cheltenham that day. I think we're going to learn. It looks like she's going to run in the Irish Gold Cup. So we're going to learn a lot more there. And I'm pretty sure she's still available for the Gold Cup at around 40-1. So she could be the one who could come in for quite substantial money in due course. And I quite like her profile. She's beaten a lot of good mares this season. The likes of Ellie May, who's among the favourites for the mayor's chase. On the prices now, yeah, I'd have to say Mount Ida.
Yeah, I think she's a real dark horse. Good to know you've been reading my column anyway, Robbie. James, what about you?
Yeah, I firstly think that's a great shout, especially given the horse she beat at Cheltenham last year won the Hennessy. So that's a good piece of form. Of a bigger price, I'm intrigued to see what Fiddle on the Roof can do, because I thought I quite like horses that run well in big handicaps, and I thought his run in the sort of Hennessy Ladbrokes Trophy was a cracking run. In terms of who I think will win it, I perhaps think I've got into the guilty train of thinking that National Hunt Chase winners can't win Gold Cups, and given how much I like Native River, I should probably be he was second in it, but I should probably be a bit more fair. I think Galvin's piece of form in Ireland the last day was seriously impressive. How he sort of got home late to pit Appleutard. You feel with him that Gold Trot Gold Cup trip is going to be absolutely spot on for him. So I think he's the most likely winner. But it's a wide open year, and I really wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about real outsider contenders who are suddenly half the price they are now come March.
Yeah, talking of wide open races, what about the Stayers Hurdle now? Because Classical Dream was bitterly disappointing in the Galmoy Hurdle midweek. And then Champ was beaten also in the Cleve Hurdle on Saturday by Paisley Park. And I think this is one of the most remarkable races I've seen so far this season. The horse gave up many lengths by whipping round at the start. Aidan Coleman said, OK, I'll let you get on with it. You can get yourself back into the race. On ITV, Ruby Walsh said he'd pull the horse up and he wouldn't bother. And lo and behold, coming to the last, Paisley Park won it up, took it up to win quite cosily by over 3 lengths. The Stayers Hurdle's looking quite an open and an interesting race now. And even though he's a 10-year-old, I guess you'd have to say if Paisley Park, shows this effort again, he'd be banging contention. I mean, what did you make of it, James? Because I thought he got a wonderful reception coming back in as well.
Yeah, it was a really, really cracking race. It's hard to judge that performance. I've watched it about 3 or 4 times now, and every time I watch it, I'm sort of unsure whether that was him being absolutely extraordinary or it was the race that just sort of fell right for him and he just took advantage. And I'm beginning to think it is more that. Yeah, obviously, sort of losing those lengths at the heart, at the start is never going to help. And the fact he could still win shows that we are seeing the Paisley Park, who is such a real, real top class staying hurdler. I just feel with him that he's a real galloper, and that the race just sort of fell apart, and he could just aim for that line, run as fast as he can up that hill, and that is what makes Paisley Park such a very, very good staying hurdler. In terms of going forward, he was beaten pretty soundly by Champ the time before, and whether we would see a repeat of that performance, who knows? I don't think Champ ran his race at all. I thought he finished really tired. I thought he didn't jump the same or travel with the same enthusiasm. So I'm a little bit, I suppose, willing to give him a second chance, because I still think he's a really, really good horse. But yeah, that Stayers Hurdle market is been fascinating in the last few days. Flooring Port hasn't run since Christmas, but in the last few days he's seen him go from third favourite to favourite by doing nothing. So yeah, strange market, but I would certainly give Champ another chance.
Yeah, he wouldn't be the only horse to finish tired, would he? I hope that isn't going to impact his Stayers Hurdle credentials. Would that worry you, I guess, having such a hard race this far out?
Probably not, to be honest with you. There's still quite a long way to the festival. And Nicky Henson is very, very good at getting those horses absolutely right for those big days at the Cheltenham Festival. So no, I wouldn't be worried. I suppose the obvious worry with him, and I suppose the Paisley Park, is a horse with sort of 10 years or older, a dreadful record in the staying hurdle. I think you'd have to go back to, I think it was 1986 that one of those horses has won at the age of 10 or more. So that's obviously a worry if you're sort of interested in your trends. But in terms of fitness, I think he'll be right for it on the day. It's just whether he is going to be able to see that trip well as the others are.
He's never been the most consistent, has he? So it's going to be a worry. Now, ironically, for a horse who is a little bit quirky, Flooring Porter has become the solid horse in the Stayers Hurdle. He's now the 7-2 favourite, as James mentioned. Time Hill, 5-1 champ, 6-1. Classical Dream, well, he's been pushed out all the way to 7-1. Some people seem to think that's an overreaction. Paisley Park, a best price, 8-1. Robbie, I look at this race and I think if you can find an angle, it's a good one to have a bet in. You've got the likes of Sporting John at 16-1, Side of Burleigh, the Potemps win at 28s, and then a whole host of horses who, of course, might not run. Who takes your eye?
Yeah, from a race that was looking quite sort of predictable as to who the front three were going to be, it's been ripped apart this week. I backed one recently. I've not checked Ozchecker the last couple of days. I don't know if the price is still there, but I backed Song for Someone at 66-1. Now, he's never run over the trip, but the way he runs over 2 miles and 2.5 miles suggests that he could be much better as a potentially staying hurdler. Early in the season, he was second to Buzz, giving him £6. Remember that horse? He was favourite for this race before he had that freak incident. And he ran a really good race there. He was dropped in trip for the international hurdle behind Guard Your Dreams. And he was just ridden along all the way. It was a miracle he finished even within half a length for the winner. So I'm just intrigued. He's still got the entry. I'm intrigued to see what he could do as a potential staying hurdler. And at 66-1, yeah, that'll do me.
I think he's about 40-1 now.
Gone, is it? That's quite annoying. That might be with a non-runner, no bet firm, though.
Bet 365. So not. I don't think they are just yet, but still a big price.
I think they are. I hope that 40s hangs around non-runner, no bet, because he still might not go. Yeah, that's a potential anti-postman angle for me tomorrow.
Wish you the best of luck with that. The one I had half an eye on was Indefatigable. Of course, showed a good piece of form when beating a lot of the protagonists at Wetherby. Whether she'd run in the mare's hurdle or not, I'm not sure. But 50-1 could look quite interesting, given she'll get that £7. Other dramatic races at Cheltenham included the Ballymore Novices Hurdle that was won in gritty style by North Lodge. He beat Balco Coastal, but Hillcrest, the short price favourite, he was brought down earlier on in the race. James, this is an interesting horse and crucially a winner for Alan King when the rest of his yard haven't been firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, it was interesting speaking to Max McNeil after the race. He said they had initially planned to go to Fontwell on Sunday and a bit of a last minute change. And yeah, not a bad way to switch if you're going to win a nice Grade 2 at Cheltenham. Odd race because... A, I don't think the second Balco Coastal stayed the trip at all. And of course, Hillcrest fell pretty early on. So it's going to be very, very hard to judge the form. I really quite like that Balco Coastal, though. I quite like how he got into the race. And again, I just think that he just didn't stay the trip as well as North Lodge. He is quite interesting, I think, for a county hurdle. I don't think he's going to be going for the Supreme. I don't think Nicky Henson would clearly run him against the two he's already got in the market. He's 20-1 for that. I think he's got quite a lot of the attributes you want in a nice 2 mile hurdler, and I imagine they'll go down to 2 miles with him now. So I think at 20-1 he could be a bit of value for the county. As we say, they don't want to take on John Bonham and Constitution Hill, so that's the one I sort of made a note of.
That's really interesting then. You like Balco Coastal for the county hurdle. That was a tongue twister. We're going to take a breather now, but don't go anywhere because we're going to talk about Arkle candidate in Third Time Lucky and also a big surprise that was sprung in the Sky Bet Chase.
The Racing Postcast is supported by Racing Post Members Club. Featuring award-winning journalism, expert tips, and renowned form study tools, this is the only racing subscription you need to stay ahead of the field. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22, that's POST22, to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. That works out at just £17.48 per month to unlock all of the premium features, and it renews at full price thereafter. Head to racingpost.com/postcast for all of the details and to claim.
Welcome back to the Monday Postcast. We've just been mulling over that shout from James in the interim. But now it's onwards to talk about the Arkle. Fernie Hollow, of course, has been ruled out for the season, but Willie Mullins still looks to have a very strong hand. He's got Blue Lord, St. Sam, Horton Colors, so many others. But it's towards third time lucky that we're going to look now. He won up at Doncaster, of course, the Lightning Novices Chase. It was an interesting race in that poor pleasure. That good old campaigner was putting third time lucky, not under any pressure, but he was giving it a good go. He came down at the last for the 8-15 favourite to coast clear 30 lengths of Do Your Job in second. He was put up by Tom Siegel, anti-post price-wise, for the Arkle. He's obviously shortened a little bit since then. Do you think he's going to have what it takes to put it up to the Irish lot, James, given that he seems to run really well around Cheltenham?
I think the big question mark with him is whether he is actually going to line up in the Arkle. We know he's had that sort of injury, and I suppose we didn't learn that much about him at Doncaster. We weren't going to learn that much about him. It's just a case of whether he was still in the same form. Yeah, I like him a lot. I still go back to that win he had at Cheltenham at the start of the season, and I was seriously impressed by him there. You know, the market in the Arkle is obviously a lot more interesting with the Fernie Hollow news that's come out. So yeah, he's definitely a contender. I would say he's probably the best 2 mile novice chaser in Britain. I would probably have him over Edward Stone. But my worry and concern with him is that A, he might not run, and B, he might not be just sort of in the same bit of form he was at the start of the season. It wouldn't surprise me if Dan Skelton decided, you know what, we're just going to leave Cheltenham this year and go to Aintree instead. I think that's what a lot of British trainers will end up doing. So with that in mind, he's not one I'd back for it. But yeah, very good horse, and nice to see him back to his best. Interesting as well to see the Racing Post analysis guys mention that Four Pledge could be one for the Grand Annual. That's quite an interesting line. I wouldn't mind seeing him go around there because I like the way he goes about his business for pleasure. So interesting angle there from our analysis team.
Yeah, it is. But he tends to throw in one howler, doesn't he, for pleasure. He is a bit of a tearaway, both mentally and in the way he races. So hopefully he can put it together at some point this season. Robbie, really interesting market again for the Arkle. Who takes your eye?
Yeah, the thing about third time lucky is if you draw a line for his run at Sandown, then I think you'd be close to sort of four or five to one. But that was such a stinker in that Edgbaston race. But he does run really well around Cheltenham third time lucky. So he is still interesting. But like James says, perhaps he'll wait until Aintree, I don't know. Who takes my eye? I think the Irish have the best horses in this division. I think we're going to learn an awful lot after the Irish Arkle this weekend, because I think Willie Mullins has got 2 5-year-olds who, in their beginner's chases, looked absolutely mustard. St. Sam looked really good, won by about 10 lengths from the Devil's Coachman. He actually beat him easier than Fernie Hollow did in their beginner's chases. And Horton Couleur, who is a smart juvenile last season as well, finished third in the Triumph. I think that was his stable debut for Mullins as well. He also looked really good in his beginners. So I think we're going to learn a lot after that Irish Arkle about the pecking order. So I think, yes, yeah, probably a race to just not really have any anti-post wages in just yet. Let's get the Dublin Race Fest out of the way. But I think Mullins has got, and obviously I've not even mentioned Blue Lord, who's looked brilliant as well. So I think Mullins has got the upper hand at the moment.
Yeah, certainly. Although few people do think Edward Stone has been going about his business and people haven't really been giving him the credit. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out this weekend. James, before we move on to the Sky Bet Chase, you wanted to talk about a horse in the Albert Bartlett River Don at Novices Hurdle, a grade two.
Yes, not particularly a race that I'm a fan on, but I was really taken by the run of a second, who's called the real Whacker. I couldn't read my writing there. Yeah, he was quite a difficult horse. He's very keen early on. He sort of had to be ridden widest. I don't know if that was the plan or just whether that was because of the way the race sort of panned out, but he was traveling, he went widest throughout, but the way he moved through the race and sort of got into contention was really quite eye-catching. And Harry Skelton sort of got him into a nice position. He then had a battle with the eventual winner Marla Mission, and he sort of hung a bit to his left. And I think that probably cost him the race, as he only sort of went down by two lengths. He's clearly got loads of talent, this horse, I think. I think he's a real top horse going forward. He's obviously going to be a chaser in time, but I think he's a real eye catcher, and it's always nice to see a good horse emerge for a yard that aren't sort of one of the norms. So Anne Duffield looks like she's got a nice horse, and this horse probably won't win a Albert Bartlett or something like that, but could turn up at maybe an Aintree or something like that. And the time he goes chasing will be very interesting. He looks a smart prospect, and is one for the tracker.
Good spot, James. Thanks very much. Now, we're going to talk about the Sky Bet Chase next. And there was a really sad postscript to this. We, of course, lost the great old campaigner Midnight Shadow, and also Watmore at Cheltenham, who was returning from an absence. He was fatally injured too. So it was a really sad day on that front, and a tough watch for many jump racing fans. So our thoughts are with connections of Midnight Shadow and Watmore. The Sky Bet Chase was won, though, by Windsor Avenue. Excuse me. He sprung a 40-1 surprise. He beat Storm Control, who idled badly in the closing stages. This is a horse who's always threatened to win a nice handicap, Robbie, and he put it all together here. It looked a really competitive race beforehand, so plaudits to him. How do you rate the form?
Yeah, he did win it well, didn't he? Obviously, Storm Control looks a bit of an unlucky loser. I think he traded at the shortest 1.04 in running, so pretty gutting if you backed him. But looking back, it was probably a bit of a surprise he was sent off at 40-1, because I know he pulled up in the Road America on his last start, but a lot of good horses did in that race. And before that, he ran a really good second to Snow Leopardess at Bangor, who came out and won a really good start at Aintree. It was sort of, might have missed one there at 40-1, but I'm not sure if how much he'll go up in the weights again, if he's going to be able to replicate that, because it looked a tough race, a lot of pulled up horses again, but good performance certainly.
I thought Hill 16 rallied quite nicely to finish fourth. He's clearly got stamina as a strong suit, might want further than this 3-mile trip. James, what did you make of the race?
I thought that Windsor Avenue was very, very good on the day. As we sort of said there, he'd always sort of threatened to be a good horse. I remember him sort of going about on those smaller northern tracks and winning by quite a fair distance. So, it's nice that he's finally done it. It could be that the sort of the good ground and a longer trip has sort of unlocked that potential. And it could be that longer trips is going to continue to sort of help him. I like the way he did it. I'm trying to look at what he might do going forward. The Grand National was sort of mentioned, and I don't think connections were too keen on that. Could well be a Scottish Grand National horse, given he sort of handled the good ground and he didn't look like he was stopping. So, nice horse going forward. But, as you said, I think it's worth mentioning again that Midnight Shadow has been a cracking horse for connections, and really, really sad news because, blimey, he's taken him to some places, isn't he?
Yeah, he certainly did. And just the worst thing to see in that race. So our thoughts with Sue Smith and her team with Midnight Shadow. Now, before we move on, I want to ask Robbie about a mare who won a Grade 3 at Fairy House this weekend. Algory Devassi, Robbie, beat Brandy Love. They were sent off joint favourites. Paul Townend opted to ride the latter, and she hung very badly left. What sort of impact do you think that race is going to have on the Cheltenham Festival?
Yeah, massive impact. It was an incredible race, really, that Brandy Love was able to finish so close to Allegory Devassi. After watching it, I was having a good look at Odds Checker to see how bookies would react. And I was quite surprised that a couple of firms drifted Brandy Love quite significantly to about 8-1. So I actually backed her immediately after the race, because watching that race, I thought if she's going left-handed, and I mean, obviously, yeah, she's not 100% straightforward, but there's so much ability there. I thought she looked like she had more ability than the winner. So I got involved there. These are two very good mares. And obviously, Mullins has got a stranglehold on that race. So for me, Brandy Love would make the most appeal out of the two going forward, return to a left-handed track. I think she's the more talented mare.
OK, if you are a jumpers fan, there's simply only one place you're going to be looking at this weekend, and that is Leopardstown for the Dublin Racing Festival. Many, many grade ones, so many exciting horses due to be on show. We're going to have a look at it after this.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
All eyes will be on Leopardstown this weekend. The Dublin Racing Festival takes place on Saturday and Sunday. And we've already mentioned a lot of the protagonists, actually, the likes of Phil Dore and Willie Mullins, is host of novice chasers in the Arkle. He's also going to have Gallop and Deschamps running in the slightly longer race, so can't wait to see that. But the big race that we're going to look at first is the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup at 3:15 on Saturday. We don't have the final entries at this stage, so just beware if you're listening a little bit later on. But Kenboy, Manella Indo, Frodon, Asterion Falange, Clanders Obo and Galvin towards the head of the market. How do you see this one playing out, Robbie?
Yeah, obviously we're going to have to see who turns up, but I think Kenboy is a pretty solid favourite, to be honest. He always runs absolutely superbly around Leopardstown, much better than anywhere else. He retains absolutely all of his ability. I thought he ran an absolute screamer behind Galvin and Apoutar when he was kind of written off before that race. He's got to be the solid one at the top, because you've got Manella Indo in there and he's just a different horse away from Cheltenham. He just comes alive there. He can't replicate that sort of form anywhere else. But as touched upon earlier, I like Mount Ida for the Gold Cup. And by that reason, I like her for the Irish Gold Cup as well. I don't know if she's going to run, but she gets the £7 mare's allowance in this race. She's been giving away big penalties over much shorter this season and running really well and winning this season. It's very interesting that Gordon Ennis entered her. If she does run, I'd be absolutely fascinated by her. I think she could be much better than we've seen. And I'm intrigued to see how she can get on this season, stepped up in trip again. She's only 8 years old. And I think there could be much more to come. This could be a good piece of placing.
Yeah, I totally agree. Getting that £7 is going to look really crucial now she's in this company. This race can throw up some funny results, James. A favourite hasn't actually won since 2012, Kellis Spree. Do you think the favourite's going to do what the others couldn't in that interim here?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned sort of funny results, because the one I do like, and God, I don't know why I'm doing it, but Asterion Falange is the one I'm drawn to. I mean, I know his record of finishing races is, it's not been too good this season, but his two runs before he came down were both rock solid. And I know it's sort of much of a merchantist, but if he did finish those two runs, he would not be the price he is at the minute. I think this is wide open. There's huge doubts about quite a few of them. Kenboy, as we said, he loves it round here and he's a former winner of a race, and that all stacks up well. But I just have a feeling Asterion Falange is just going to produce one of these days. As I said, his form is absolutely rock solid. 3 miles, that's all the ground will be spot on for him. Look, he needs to finish first, but you said funny results. That would be one that I think everyone would get behind, because he's turning into quite a popular old boy. But yeah, he's the one I like at the prices.
He deserves it, doesn't he? Well, if he puts it all together, because he's clearly got so much ability. Now, I know both of you have a strong view on the Ladbrokes Dublin Chase. Shaq and Possoir were expected to turn up there, the 10-year-old. Also quite a few British contenders, Greenatine, Editor de Geet, Sky Pirate maybe. So this might be quite an interesting affair. You don't fancy the favourite, however, Robbie. Tell us why.
No, I don't. I might have egg on my face in 4 hours' time, but I have a feeling he might even run. I know he got an injury over Christmas, and the way the stories I was reading afterwards was that he might have a battle on his hands to get to Cheltenham. So, and we've not heard anything in so long. It wouldn't surprise me if he just came out, and that blows the race wide open. But regardless, if he does run, I'd want to take him on anyway, because he was desperately poor at Sandown on his return. He's 10 years old. He's getting on a bit. Yes, he is very good at Leopardstown, but I don't know. He's got questions to answer now for me after this injury and that poor run recently. By far the worst for Mullins that he's had. I'd back Grenadine at 7-2. Absolutely rock solid horse. Paul Nicholls said he was going for the race. That for me is too big a price. This race is going to absolutely cut up. You've got in behind Grenadine, you've got horse like Captain Guinness, Dunvegan, Editor de Geet, Sky Pirate. They've got no chance on ratings. So another angle I want to throw in, I actually did back Fernie Hollow for this race, Anti-Post. Unfortunately, he's not running. I have a theory that Mullins is going to run a novice here. He's not. If Chacken doesn't run, I think he definitely will. And that horse could be Blue Lord. He's about 20-1, because he's got such a strong hand in the Irish Arkle compared to the Dublin Chase, that it makes more sense that he might chuck one in the deep end than run all three or four in the Irish Arkle. So that could be interesting. But yeah, we'll have to see what happens.
We certainly will. You don't want to be double guessing Willie Mullins because he'll always surprise you, won't he? He's got Jungle Boogie and Saint Sam in there as well. And of course, their champion chase horse is probably at home in Energami. James, but you don't like Shaq and Poussoir either.
No, I'm pretty similar to Robbie here. I like Grenadine as well. As Robbie sort of said there, his form is rock solid. And, you know, he's still sort of been quite a progressive horse from, I suppose, his time last year where he was beaten quite away in the game spirit at Newbury. He's come on and run a cracker at Cheltenham, won his race at Sandown. And this season, his Tingle Creek was a really, really good piece of form. And even that run at Kempton the last day behind Shishkin, I know that's... Obviously, he's sort of not in that league, but I think the ground was probably a bit too soft for him that day. So I'm willing to give him another chance. He has got some really red-hot form sort of behind some very good horses as well. But in his own right, he has run very well. Shaq and Poussoir for me, I just really struggled to see the value of 4-5 when he was that poor the last day at Sandown. That was a hugely disappointing run. We don't know in what sort of state he is in compared to the old Shaq and Poussoir. So, yeah, I'm keen to take him on. And Grenadine has some rock solid form next to his name.
Brilliant. Now, we're expecting a lot of the anti-post races to change after the Dublin Racing Festival. But I think one in which we're thinking is unlikely to change is the Champion Hurdle market. And Honeysuckle is going to run in the Schnell Farmer Irish Champion Hurdle at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Appreciate It, who has been out with an injury, is going to remain over hurdles. He could be one of her biggest threats, as could Sharjah and Zana here, who finished first and second at the track last time. But I can't see Honeysuckle being beaten. What do you think Appreciate It is going to have to do to really get under her skin here, Robbie?
He's going to have to prove that he's ready first time up after such a long layoff. As a novice, yeah, he's got the form to potentially give her a race. But I think that first time out is a concern and he's got to give her weight. And even off level weights, he's still got 5 pounds to find. He's definitely the horse that I'd fancy to follow her home. But there's just too much doubt. And I can see at the time we're recording this, he's about 7-2. I'd want a little bit more than that, to be honest. It'd be a real shock to me personally if Honeysuckle didn't win. But that's not to say Appreciate It can't run well and then step forward again and improve throughout the season and become a top-class two-mile hurdler.
Yeah, he is an 8-year-old now. You forget how old these horses are. Yeah, when they run in their bumpers and then they go novice hurdling, it only takes one thing to go wrong and they've had a year out of action or, you know, it's a while until they get into open company. But Honeysuckle's just spectacular, isn't she, James? I mean, seeing her and Rachel Blackmore come around here again. It was in this race last year, but I finally sort of bought into the hype and she's clearly just a huge draw.
Yeah, and I hope she does win because it will be good for Irish racing to have a real good crowd at Leopardstown for the 2 days and they'll all be coming to see her. I think she'll win, to be honest. It's pretty boring. I think Appreciate will give her a bit of a race and I think he will show signs of encouragement that will make people fancy him to turn the tables at Cheltenham, but like I say, coming back off a long break, it's going to be very tough for him. But Cheltenham will always be more of his track, you'd imagine. But yeah, Honeysuckle is something else and it's going to take something pretty special to stop her.
Yeah, let's hope she can remain unbeaten on Sunday. Now, we're not going to do the naps. Well, not in the same vein anyway as usual, but I've asked the lads for a Dublin Racing Festival banker and also a lay. So let's see what they think. Robbie, I'll let you go first. You've had a couple of other bets you want to mention as well.
You have, for the banker, for the lay, let's go Shaq and Poussoir. I'm very much against him. For the banker, I'm going to go Vauban in the Spring Juvenile. His price has really collapsed since Pied Piper's exploit subsequently. But I think he'll get the job done. He's open to a lot more improvement than Fildor. Really good run. I think he was valued to probably beat Pied Piper if he jumped last properly. And he is the one for me. I just want to touch on a very interesting race on the Saturday, the 3 mile handicap hurdle. Now, this horse would be a banker if he runs here. Album Photo has been entered in a handicap hurdle off 142. Now, he's obviously rated about 170 over fences. And they're saying they're going to get him out more often this season. I'd like to see it. That's a mark he can absolutely win off. And he's 5-1 with one firm for that. Also, I just want to touch on another horse in the race who'd be very interesting if he turned up. Kind of similar profile to Alban Photo, Castle Bourne West. He's also entered in the Irish Gold Cup. He's not been seen since winning the Paddy Power Chase at Leopardstown in 2020 off top weight. Ran a stormer there. He's now rated 163 over fences. He's obviously not run since, but another horse who's thrown in over hurdles. He's off 135, and he can be back to double figure odds at the moment. So if Mullins chooses to run one of those horses there, I think they could go off potentially very short price.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, when you get horses who have been performing really well over fences and they return over hurdles off those decreased marks. I often think that it doesn't always match up, though. I find myself getting my fingers burnt quite a bit when that happens. Do you have sort of a rule of thumb by how much you want to see them succeed their other mark, I suppose, Robbie?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It kind of depends on the differential. When we're talking about £28, they could be a stone worse off over the other discipline, but still have a stone in hand sort of thing. But yeah, when it's that big, I think it's too good to turn down. And it's also a kind of a price thing. With these two horses, Antipost at the time of writing, you're getting 14 to 1 and 5 to 1. So yeah, yes, this is before we've got the final fields, but I've backed both of them. And yeah, for that reasoning, I like them. And I think it makes sense for both to run there, to be honest.
Yeah, certainly a very, very interesting angle. What about you, James?
Yeah, I think my lay would be Chac and Pourceoir again. And the banker I think I would go for, we mentioned this horse slightly earlier. Is it Halten Colers? I think it's how it's pronounced in the Irish article. Looks quite an open race at this point in time with Blue Lord in there. I just feel that this horse is open to so much more sort of improvement. He's very lightly raced. That was only his first start when he won at the track. And given he was sent to Leopardstown over Christmas, I wouldn't be surprised if Connections had half an eye on the Irish Arkle for him. He was really, really impressive that day. I love the way he jumped. I love the way he sort of travelled through the race. He looks to me like a real smart sort going forward. Blue Lord's obviously very good, but I just think this one's going to have a bit more improvement in him and could well emerge as a leading candidate for the British Arkle as well.
Yeah, very interesting. We're going to learn a lot at the Dublin Racing Festival, aren't we? Can't wait. Hope you're excited for it as well. And that's all we have time for today. Of course, the team will be back on Friday to talk you through those excellent Leopardstown cards. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And also rate, review and subscribe. Best of luck with wherever you're betting this week. And we'll see you again soon.